Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words before us this evening as we begin our Advent meditations on Wednesday evenings is just one verse, Luke 1:38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the slave maid of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." During this holy season, we speak a lot about the faithful. Who are the faithful? We know that the parents of John the Baptizer believed in the promises of the Lord concerning the promised Savior. Elizabeth and Zechariah were very, very faithful. We also hear about the faithful devotion of the shepherds who heard that message from the angels that night, and they immediately followed the angel's command because they were faithful. They went to see the thing that had come to pass, which the Lord had made known to them. And we sing, as we did again this evening, "O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." Do we know what it means to be faithful? Faithful isn't a simple word. It's not a word like flowers or trees or grass or stone. It's a compound word. It's a complicated word. It speaks of personal relationships. It's the most beautiful, heartwarming expression during this season. It speaks of personal relationships, but in the context of Christmas and the Christian faith, faithful speaks of the highest relationship upon which all other lesser relationships are based. Who then are the faithful? Mary was certainly faithful. She kept God's word. Mary said, "Behold, the slave maid of the Lord, let it be according to your word." These words are full of faith, aren't they? We're reminded of Abraham's faith when the Lord told him to leave his country and his kinsmen and his inheritance and go to a land that God would yet show him. Mary had this kind of faith. She says that she is the Lord's property, the Lord Jehovah, the slave maid, that she belongs to him, and he may do with her as he pleases. That's what she's saying in this short sentence. She says this is not, she doesn't say it because she's forced to say it. The angel wasn't somehow choking her to get these words out of her. She doesn't say it out of fear. She says it joyfully and willingly after the angel spoke with her. But let's remember just what it is to which she's agreeing. The angel of the Lord appeared to her in the night and informed her that she's blessed among women and highly favored by God. And then she learns what this means. It means that she's to be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God in the highest, the Son of David, who's to be ruler of his own kingdom forever. What an honor. No greater honor has ever come to any woman, and also no more awesome task has been the responsibility of a woman. Mary was not Miss Cool. Mary was not Miss Teen America. She wasn't one of these young women, these beautiful women, these well-to-do women, these women who have plenty of confidence and who brim with poise. She wasn't anything like that. Yes, she was a young girl, maybe 14 or 15 years old, but she was of humble means and humble spirit. How it must have made her tremble to hear that she, of all people, would carry the very Son of God in her womb, a womb that the Son of God had created. How could she, as Luther said, an unclean sinner, bear the Holy God? How's that possible? And then she'd have to be his mother. She'd have to smother him with mother love all the years of his youth. Who was sufficient for such a thing? And wouldn't she want to do it perfectly, like no other mother before or after? surely God could find someone better than she, someone stronger, someone more experienced, someone up to the task. Can we appreciate what she must have been thinking when the angel was speaking to her? You know how fast the thoughts come. Surely you women out there can understand how she might have trembled at the angel's announcement and understand her anxious thoughts. There must have been a struggle in her own spirit. But we haven't come to the most astounding word of the angel, the announcement that must have made her shake the most, for she learns that the Son of God will be conceived in her, not by man, not according to the customary relationship between a man and a woman in marriage. No, she's going to give birth as a virgin. What would Joseph think? What would the people in that little city of Nazareth think? What could they think, except that she must have yielded to the lusts of the flesh? What other conclusion could they come to? How could she bear the shame of it all? Now, when you walk in her sandals for a few minutes and you think about all these things that must have flooded her mind, aren't you astounded that she gives this calm, unbelievable reply? Behold, the slave maid of the Lord, let it be according to your word. The faithful Mary keeps the word of her Lord. She doesn't run from the responsibility which faces her, which must have seemed awesome to her. And the reason that Mary was faithful and kept the word of the Lord, as Luther kind of alludes to, is that she believed that her Lord was faithful to her first. What are the first words of the angel to her? Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. And all that that implies also flooded her mind. All that the angel said then concerning the Holy One to be born of her had to do with the fulfillment of her Lord's promise to the nation of Israel, a promise that she had treasured in her heart ever since her youth, as all the faithful of Israel did. She was to be that virgin that was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet. The Lord who had answered her prayers all her life, who had fed her and clothed her and sheltered her, whether she was an orphan or not. This is the Lord who's now speaking to her through the angel. This is the Lord who, it is announced, is with you. He had chosen Israel to bring forth the seed of the woman promised to Adam and Eve, and now he had chosen her to be the virgin, the woman. So without fear of shame, without fear of failing, she trusted in the Lord's words and his promise concerning her future days. Now we're so familiar with this text. Year after year we hear it read and we think about it, but do we really think about it? This is astounding. But this was her experience with the Lord. As he had been with Israel all those centuries in order to bring forth his promised son, so his faithfulness was going to be with her, because she, according to the angel, was God's chosen woman, the virgin. Now this year, as we put up our Christmas trees, let's remember how they symbolize the faithfulness of our Lord. Like most trees, which seem to fail during the winter season, our friends and our neighbors, even our relatives, may fail us in the coming year. We even may fail ourselves. We certainly will fail ourselves. But like the evergreen Christmas tree, our unchanging Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can count on him not to desert us, not to fail or forsake us. He has proven his faithfulness by first keeping the promise of sending his son when the fullness of the time came, according to all the words of the prophets in the Old Testament. And God further proved his faithfulness when, in the person of his Son, he died on the cross for the sins of us all. Now think about that tussle in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Son pleading with his Father. If it's possible, don't put me through this. And the Father from heaven silently announcing to the Son that it was necessary for us. And then the angel coming to strengthen the Son. The angel sent by the Father, who was being faithful to his promises, and the Son, who was being faithful to the Father's business. Even unto the death of the cross. As Paul says in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not, along with him, freely give us all things? You see, our God is faithful, and so he's called upon us to be faithful too. He wants us to take him at his word. That's why he delivers this word to us. That's why he makes all these promises of provision for us, of our spiritual needs and our physical needs all our days, because he wants us to take him at his word. He will provide everything that we need besides the Savior from sin, which he's already provided. So may we be faithful each day, trusting his words of promise, which assure us that if he so clothes the lilies of the field and feeds the birds of the air, he will surely provide everything that we need, because we are his very own. We are his believing children. He'll do it for Christ's sake. Who also says, "Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world." Each day, let the faithful among us who are troubled and who are sick and who are old and worn and weary take heart in the promises of the faithful one. For he says in Isaiah 43, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer." So, you who are dear to the Lord, Jesus is like the Christmas tree. He really is. His unchanging faithfulness brings life eternal, and God brings the life of Christ himself to us. He wants us to be like the ornaments that we have, that we hang on our trees. Like Mary, may we faithfully hang ourselves on every promise and every word of our faithful God and Savior. May we be led by the Spirit of God to say with her, "O Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety, because Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Son of God, the King, the ruler of the universe, is your faithful Savior. Amen.